Blues for an Alabama Sky has been called a masterpiece and is Atlanta's Pearl Clegg's most performed play. Commissioned by the Atlanta-based Tony-winning director Kenny Leon, the play was selected as one of the productions to be performed during the four-year Cultural Olympiad, the cultural lead-up to the Atlanta Olympic Games. I revisited the play with Pearl, set during the 1930s in the middle of the Depression and at the end of the Harlem Renaissance. Pearl began with her inspiration for the play.
The idea occurred to me of having someone from rural Alabama end up in Harlem, which is the fish out of water character in that play. But it came to me one night. We were coming back, Zarin and I were driving back from Montgomery.
It's your husband.
My husband Zarin and I were driving back from Montgomery, and they had done one of my plays at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. At that same day, because it was right around Dr. King's birthday, and this shows you how much things have changed and not changed, the Klan was marching around in Montgomery because they were angry about Martin Luther King having a holiday. So that I was so excited that my play had gone well in Alabama, that the because my family is from Alabama. So I was really happy about the play, and then realized that at the same moment that we were doing the play at the Shakespeare Festival, the Klan was marching around the state capitol. So on the ride home, I was exhilarated and so depressed about what was happening with the Klan. And I rolled down the window, and it was very dark. And I looked out, kind of laid my head out the window like dogs do. And the sky was so amazing and beautiful. Stars everywhere. It was the kind of sky that you don't see in the city because there's too much artificial light. And I remember thinking to myself, what would it be like to come from a place where you could step out on your back porch and see this sky and go to a place like New York where you have to look hard to go past all those buildings and past all that light to see a sky? And that became, that character really had the blues because he was longing for that sky that I had seen that night driving through Alabama.
And that character is Leland.
Leland, yes, yes.
Would you give us a synopsis and describe the characters?
Well, it's a group of people in Harlem who are an eclectic group, a doctor, a social worker, a costume designer, a singer who is kind of down on her luck, her name is Angel. And then Leland, who is a character from Tuskegee, Alabama, is coming to Harlem. His wife has died, and he's coming there to work with a cousin of his on rehabbing some buildings. And one night he sees Angel and her friend Guy, the costume designer, coming home. She's just been fired, and they are very, very drunk. She is falling down drunk, so he helps her and helps her friend get her home. But she looks almost exactly like his wife. So he falls madly in love, and then he realizes her name is Angel, so he thinks that God has sent this angel back to make up for his wife. His wife was a very lovely country girl from Tuskegee. Angel is not a lovely girl from Tuskegee. She is a wild woman who is prepared to do whatever she thinks is necessary to survive. She lies, she pretends, she does all kinds of things, and the friends who know her are able to forgive her for that. But he was really not prepared for it, had never met people like these. And at the end, it's a very tragic ending because he can't make peace with what he wanted and what the reality is.
So you have this point and counterpoint with characters. Angel is this worldly woman, yet very much in need of men and men's approval and adoration. And Delia, the social activist, the social worker, completely naive, but smart and independent and quite ahead of her time in
yes.
terms of a feminist outlook. Sam, the doctor.
One of my favorite characters I've ever written. I love Sam, and that he's the character that makes audiences fuss at me after that show because he dies at the end of the show. He's shot by Leland, and people who love that character because, you know, we've spent two acts really loving him. And then when he dies, that's the one that people come to me and say, you couldn't figure out a way to let him live, couldn't
really?
We? Let him live, yeah. And I love that because as a playwright, you want people to invest in those characters. But Sam and Delia were very interesting to work with because he's a person who is dealing with women's health all the time. He's delivering babies. He loves delivering babies. But he also understands that poverty makes it difficult for women to have more children than they can support. So he has also done illegal abortions for people and has done that for Angel because she's his good friend. Delia, who he ends up falling in love with, is trying to work ahead of that crisis that women have by making sure that people have safe and legal birth control available to them. And she's a follower of Margaret Sanger, so that she's actually working in the same field that he's working in. And all of them are kind of held together by Guy, who is the costume designer, who is a very flamboyant gay man, who is fearless and who is designing costumes to send to Paris for Josephine Baker. And he actually is the one in the play who has a dream when we meet him, sticks with that dream, fights for that dream. And at the end, we watch him getting ready to go get on the ship to go to Paris.
Well, realizing that you created the play before the Cultural Olympiad, but the fact that it was presented as part of the Olympic Arts Festival, I wondered if you were aware of the international audience or the way it might be received within the context of the Olympics.
And I didn't think about that because I didn't know when I was writing it that it was going to be included. So that I didn't think about that. My only, I think, concern was whether or not an international audience would even know what the Harlem Renaissance was.
Really?
Would even have that kind of information to bring to the play. But I think that was just me underestimating the audience and underestimating the importance of the Harlem Renaissance. That's the period. If I had to come back into another period, I would so want to come back to the Harlem Renaissance. But that was my only hesitation because I think the subject matter is very much something that people can deal with all over the world. Women's health is a very big issue right now in our country. I mean, the Supreme Court just did what I think was a wonderful ruling to kind of help women continue to have the right to control their own bodies. And that's something that men and women all over the world deal with. And also just that idea of artistic, bohemian people with different kinds of moral standards, different kinds of ideas about right and wrong, often clash with people who have more doctrinaire ideas about what God thinks you should do. And if you don't do what God says, you're going to be punished and cast into the lake of fire.
So, written more than 20 years ago, set long before that in 1930, these are issues we are struggling with today. Gay bashing, the tragedy that the country experienced with Orlando just a few weeks ago. Freedom of choice is still such an incendiary issue for so many.
It was really amazing to me. The Alliance remounted this show last year as a 20th anniversary celebration, and Susan Booth directed it. Wonderful, wonderful production. I'm still in awe of those actors, and that production was just amazing. But it struck me because when she first said she was interested in doing it, I went back to read the play to see if it holds up, because, you know, if it can be something that's absolutely wonderful, but then time passes and was it going to feel creaky and old and all that? And I was amazed at how timely it still is, that we're still dealing with some of these issues. But I was greatly heartened by the fact that we've made great progress on all of these fronts that I'm talking about in this play. We still have a long, long way to go. But I remember when girls that I was in college with, I had a friend who died from an illegal abortion. So that all of these issues are things that have changed dramatically in my lifetime. The fact of homophobia being something that was almost routine. Everyone assumed they could insult. Everyone assumed they could. And it is so not that way anymore, that people understand that there are different ways that people choose to live their lives. And we have to respect that, whatever those choices might be. So that I was really happy on the one hand that progress has been made, but really surprised at how much this play still resonates in terms of the issues I'm looking at.
You mentioned the strong cast and Susan Booth's direction last year during the 20th anniversary production. Tell us about the original cast.
The original cast was so lovely. This was the first show that Felicia Rashad did after she had done The Cosby Show for 10 years. And she was very interested in establishing for people that she was really not Claire Huxtable. She was really Felicia Rashad, a wonderful actress with lots and lots of variety in her life and in the roles she wanted to play. I went to Howard with Felicia. We were in the same class in the drama department at Howard University. And when I heard that she was interested in the play, I was so delighted because she was wonderful. Even when we were college students, she was an actress that made you look at whatever she was doing. So Kenny and I went up together to New York to talk to her about whether or not she could come down, because this show was in the Hertz, which was only 200 seats. And she was a person who had a huge, huge audience. And she was so excited to do the show, so wanted to do the show. So she was absolutely wonderful in it. Guy, who was her friend, was played by Mark Young, who actually only stepped in a week before the show because the actor who was supposed to play the show could not get along in that situation. He couldn't work with Kenny. He didn't learn his lines, all of that. And he actually did one of the things that's kind of a cliche in theater at one point. About 8 days before the show, he threw his script down 8 days before the show and said, "I can't work this way." And Kenny Leon sent everyone else out of the room and then sent that guy home to New York on the plane and said to us, "We will find someone else to play that role." So Mark Young, young actor, had been through the acting program at the Alliance, stepped in, learned everything, and was absolutely wonderful in that role. Bill Nunn, who has gone on to do lots of movies and other things, played Doc. He was lovely. Deirdre Henry played Delia. She has gone on to do lots of other things. She also has a life in commercials, so that we see her a lot in commercials. And the last one is Leland, who was played by Gary Yates, who is a wonderful actor and director who still is here in Atlanta.
The play has been produced many times all over the country. So even with its birth before the Olympic Arts Festival, is there something you will still associate with the magic in the city at that time?
Absolutely. The fact of being included in an arts Olympiad that was connected to the Olympics, being here in Atlanta, it was so exciting for me because I went to a number of the performances and I would talk to people afterward from all over the world who wanted to talk about the play, who wanted to talk about how it resonated for them in terms of things that were going on in their own country. So it was absolutely wonderful. That was a great time in Atlanta, just the number of people here from all over the world. I came home one day and Zarin was at home and there were a house full of Brazilian people in the house because someone, I can't even remember who it was that we knew, brought the group over. They didn't speak English. We don't speak any Portuguese. So we were kind of listening to music and talking with our hands and all of that. And they really, this particular group of young people loved the blues. They loved American blues. And Zarin is a cousin of Howlin' Wolf. They couldn't believe they were meeting someone who actually was related to one of the people that they really loved. So that was fun. But it was a time when things like that would happen. You know, you'd go into a restaurant and there'd be a group of people there trying to communicate with people because they didn't have English. And we were trying to find someone who can speak whatever it was. So to have the play be a part of that and to encourage that kind of conversation among people, it was really a great gift for me. I'll never forget it.
Well, I think for those who have seen the play, we consider it a gift too.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pearl.
Thank you. It's always lovely to be here.